time now for your letters. We were engulfed with emails over our interview last Saturday with Richard Ben Kramer about his book, How Israel Lost. Toward the end of that interview, I asked Mr. Kramer, is there still a need for Israel? Many listeners were offended and called the question unfair, illegitimate, or simply stupid. Martin J. Gidrone of Salisbury, Maryland wrote, "Substitute the name of any other country and the absurdity will become obvious. The very fact that such an existential question is routinely raised about the Jewish state proves that the fears of its residents, which Mr. Kramer seems fit to sneer at, are fully justified." Jim Bellis of Falls Church, Virginia, wonders, with respect to what other country would you ask such a question? Why not ask why the need for a Palestinian state at all, when there are already 22 other Arab countries in existence? I thought the question and Mr. Kramer's answer might remind people of the circumstances under which Israel became a nation. I regret that the question prevented many listeners from hearing his answer. Richard Ben Kramer said he believes that Israel is still necessary so that anyone who is Jewish anywhere in the world has a safe place to avoid persecution. But earlier in that interview, I should have challenged Mr. Kramer's characterization that American Jews are largely unburdened by fact. Seth Whitner of Portland, Oregon writes, NPR listeners know that such a remark, if made about any other segment of the population, would be taboo in an NPR broadcast. I was so intent on getting him to tell his story about Swedish meatballs at a kosher buffet in Tel Aviv, I did not appreciate how listeners could be offended by Mr. Kramer's observation and call on him to qualify it. I apologize for my mistake. Some listeners heard our story on a proposal to lower the key of the Star-Spangled Banner from B-flat to G and said the problem was with the anthem's range, not its key. Anthony Alessandrini of Van Wert, Ohio, has a different reason for caution. It would be a disaster, he writes, for the people who play it the most, high school marching bands. Trust me, you do not want to hear high school marching bands, especially high school alto sax players, playing the key of four sharps. Finally, our interview with Simon and Garfunkel reunited inspired Dennis Murphy of Belmont, California, to tell us about the first time he saw them on The Ed Sullivan Show. I thought because of their names they were another comedy act. I was further convinced of this when I was told they performed songs called Sounds of Silence and I Am a Rock. When this taller guy with big fuzzy hair and a shorter guy with a striped shirt filled the screen, I thought, oh boy, this is going to be great. As Paul and Art performed, I incredulously turned to my friend and said, this isn't funny. Mr. Murphy, if only Simon and Garfunkel had sung Cecilia this way. Sent into NPR by a listener identified only as Dwayne. We welcome your letters and your song stylings here at wesat@npr.org, and please tell us where you live and how to say your name. Grab the swatter and took aim. Now there's cicada guts smashed on my window pane. Cicadas invading my yard. Their mating is driving me crazy. If you really want to hear more original Odes of the Cicada, you can go to the All Songs Considered page at npr.org. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.